Shadows stretched across the frost-covered ground as Pavati Blackwood made her way through the dense forest. 27 years in Pine Ridge had taught her to navigate these woods blindfolded, but tonight felt different. The air hummed with an electric current she couldn't explain, raising goosebumps along her arms despite her thick jacket. A twig snapped behind her. Pavati whirled around, her breath crystallizing in the cold air. "Who's there?" Silence answered, yet she couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Turning back to the path, she quickened her pace toward the lights of town that glimmered in the distance. Pine Ridge was a peculiar blend of modern amenities and ancient traditions. Main Street boasted trendy coffee shops and boutiques, while just beyond city limits, the old ways persisted. Sacred grounds where elders still gathered beneath star-filled skies. Pavati belonged to neither world completely. Half Lakota through, her mother and raised by her white father after her mother's mysterious disappearance, she'd always felt caught between worlds, an outsider looking in. Her work as a wildlife biologist studying wolf populations gave her purpose, but rarely peace. "Working late again, Pav?" called Jerry from the diner as she hurried past. She forced a smile. "Always." The Pine Ridge Museum of Natural History, where she maintained her office, stood dark and imposing against the night sky. Digging for her keys, she didn't notice the tall figure leaning against her door until she was almost upon him. "Jesus!" She jumped back, keys clutched like a weapon. The man straightened, moonlight revealing a face that seemed sculpted from shadow and light. High cheekbones, midnight black hair pulled back in a neat bun, and eyes that caught the dim, hallway lights like amber fire. "Pavati Blackwood?" His voice was deep, with a hint of an accent she couldn't place. "Who's asking?" Her fingers tightened around her keys. "Makya Redhorn." He extended a hand. "I represent the Wolf Lake Preservation Society." Pavati relaxed slightly but didn't take his hand. "You're about a week early for our meeting." A smile played at the corner of his mouth. "I like to be thorough." Something about his presence filled the hallway, making it difficult to breathe. Pavati prided herself on her composure. She'd faced down territorial wolves and angry landowners, but this man unsettled her. "Well, as you can see, I'm heading home." She gestured to the exit. "Actually, I was hoping to discuss something urgent." His eyes held hers. "There's been unusual activity in the North Quadrant, where your research team isn't authorized." Pavati bristled. "My team follows strict protocols, which is why I found it curious when our motion sensors captured this." He produced a phone, displaying footage of what appeared to be her research assistant Trevor setting traps in restricted territory. "That's impossible. Trevor wouldn't. The footage is time-stamped from yesterday." Pavati's mind raced. Trevor had called in sick yesterday. "This must be a misunderstanding." "Perhaps. But the tribal council is concerned. These lands contain sacred sites not meant for outsiders." "I understand the significance. Do you?" His tone sharpened. "These aren't just culturally sensitive areas, Ms. Blackwood. They're dangerous." "Dangerous how?" Makya's expression shifted subtly. "Some places retain memories. The land remembers what was done there." A chill ran through her that had nothing to do with the building's failing heater. "That sounds more like superstition than preservation work." "Says the woman who leaves offerings at her mother's memorial tree." His words landed like a physical blow. Pavati stepped back. "How do you know about that?" "Pine Ridge has few secrets." He handed her a business card. "Call me when you've spoken with your assistant. The council won't wait long for answers." As he turned to leave, something caught Pavati's eye, a tattoo peeking from his collar, an intricate symbol she'd seen before in her mother's journals. "Wait. That mark." Makya paused, then slowly turned back. "What mark?" "On your neck." My mother had drawings of that symbol. His expression darkened. Emma Blackwood was your mother? The use of her mother's name, and the recognition in his voice, sent Pavati's pulse racing. You knew her? Not personally. Her work with the tribe is well documented. Her work is what? My father never talked about what she did before she vanished. Makia seemed to weigh his words carefully. She was a translator for the tribal archives. Pavati knew it wasn't the whole truth. My mother disappeared when I was 7. The police said she likely drowned in Wolf Lake, but they never found her body. Some things are better left in the past, Ms. Blackwood. His voice softened. But if you're determined to dig up old bones, be prepared for what might still cling to them. With that cryptic warning, he disappeared down the hallway, leaving Pavati clutching his business card, an elegant emblem of a wolf surrounded by ancient symbols. Pavati's apartment was a sanctuary of organized chaos. Research papers, old books, and wildlife photographs covering every surface. She dropped her bag and headed straight for the old cedar chest at the foot of her bed, the one place she kept her mother's few remaining possessions. Among faded photographs and handwritten letters was a leather-bound journal. Pavati had pored over it countless times, trying to decipher her mother's cryptic notes about local legends and folktales. Now, with trembling fingers, she flipped through, until she found what she sought, a page with the same symbol she'd seen on Makia's neck. Her mother's handwriting noted, "The guardians bear this mark, protectors of the veil between worlds. The Alpha carries the burden of the blood oath." Below was a rough sketch of a wolf transforming into a man. Pavati had always dismissed these as creative interpretations of Lakota mythology. Her scientist's mind rejected the impossible. Until now. Her phone buzzed with a text from Trevor. "Hey, boss. Feeling better? Coming in tomorrow? Anything need attention?" She stared at the message, remembering Makia's accusation. Her fingers hovered over the keys before replying, "We need to talk about the North Quadrant traps." His response came immediately. "What traps? We haven't set any up there." Either Trevor was lying, or Makia was. A knock at her door startled her. Through the peephole, she saw Mrs. Wiaka, her elderly Lakota neighbor who had been a friend of her mother's. "Mrs. Wiaka, is everything okay?" Pavati asked, opening the door. The old woman's face was grave. "I saw him, child. The Redhorn boy, coming to find you. You know Makia Redhorn?" Mrs. Wiaka pushed past her into the apartment. "Know him? I watched him grow from a pup, just like I watched you." She spotted the open journal on the coffee table and froze. "You're reading Emma's writings." He had a symbol on his neck, the same one my mother drew. The old woman sighed heavily and lowered herself onto the couch. "It was only a matter of time, I suppose. The moon cycles align as they did when your mother disappeared." "What does that mean? What happened to my mother?" Mrs. Wiaka's roomy eyes fixed on her. "Your mother discovered something she wasn't meant to know. About the Redhorn clan. About what they really are." "And what's that?" Pavati held her breath. "Skinwalkers, child. The old magic runs in their blood. They can wear the wolf's skin as easily as you wear that jacket." Pavati almost laughed, but the old woman's expression remained deadly serious. "You can't expect me to believe. Believe what you will. But ask yourself why the wolves you study never venture onto Redhorn land. Ask yourself why your mother was so interested in the lunar cycles. Ask yourself why, every full moon, someone from Pine Ridge goes missing, only to return days later with no memory of where they've been." A chill settled over Pavati. Her scientific mind rejected this, yet something deeper, something primal, recognized truth in the old woman's words. "What does Makia want with me?" Mrs. Wiaka reached for Emma's journal, fingers tracing the symbols. "The question, child, is what did your mother have that the Redhorns still seek? 20 years is a long time to hunt for something, unless it threatens their very existence. My mother's been dead for 20 years. Is she? Mrs. Wiaka's gaze pierced her. No body was found, and the night she vanished was a blood moon, like the one that rises tomorrow night. Pavati's phone buzzed again, an unknown number. The text contained only an image, a photograph of her mother, clearly taken recently, standing before what appeared to be a cabin in dense woods. The timestamp showed it was taken 3 days ago. Mrs. Wiaka peered at the phone and nodded grimly. It begins. This is impossible, Pavati whispered, staring at her mother's face, older but unmistakable. This can't be real. Tomorrow night, when the blood moon rises, go to Howling Rock. If you want answers about your mother, about the Red Horns, about why Makya has really sought you out, be there when the moon touches the highest peak. And if I don't go? Then accept that some mysteries aren't meant to be solved. The old woman rose with difficulty. But know this, your mother made a choice 20 years ago that changed everything. Now you face the same choice. After Mrs. Wiaka left, Pavati sat motionless, staring at the photograph. Science and reason told her this was an elaborate hoax, but her heart recognized the truth in her mother's eyes, in the familiar way she tilted her head slightly when photographed. Her phone buzzed once more. Another text from the unknown number. The daughter of the moon must choose her path. Blood calls to blood. Come alone tomorrow night, or she dies for real this time. Revelation settled over Pavati like a shroud. Whatever game was being played, the stakes were life and death. And somehow, her long-lost mother stood at the center of it. Daylight filtered through Pavati's blinds, illuminating the chaos of her night's research. Open books on Lakota mythology, printouts of local missing persons reports, and maps of Wolf Lake Reservation covered every surface. Sleep had evaded her after Mrs. Wiaka's visit, her mind racing with possibilities both rational and fantastical. The photograph of her mother stared back from her phone screen. She'd analyzed it dozens of times, looking for signs of manipulation, finding none. The woman in the image was undeniably Emma Blackwood, aged naturally from the mother Pavati remembered. A text from Trevor interrupted her thoughts. In the office. Where are you? Reality beckoned. Regardless of supernatural mysteries, she had responsibilities. 20 minutes later, Pavati strode into the museum, fighting exhaustion. Trevor looked up from his computer, his boyish face brightening. You look terrible, he offered cheerfully. Thanks. She dropped her bag. We need to talk. Trevor's smile faded at her tone. What's wrong? Pavati pulled up the footage Makya had shown her on her tablet. Care to explain this? Color drained from Trevor's face as he watched himself setting traps in the restricted Northern Territory. That's not possible. I was homesick. That's what I thought. Pav, I swear, that's not me. I mean, it looks like me, but I wasn't there. She studied his face, finding only genuine confusion. Then who is it? Maybe someone doctored the footage, Trevor suggested. Or maybe someone wants to create trouble between the reservation and our research team. Pavati closed the tablet. A man named Makya Redhorn showed me this. He represents the Wolf Lake Preservation Society. Trevor's expression changed subtly. Redhorn? As in the Redhorn clan? You know them? He lowered his voice despite the empty room. Everyone local knows to stay clear of the Redhorns. They practically own the north side of the reservation. Super private, super protective of their land. What else do you know about them? Trevor hesitated. Just rumors, mostly. They're old money, old blood. People say they can trace their lineage back before European contact. He fidgeted with a pen. There are other stories, too. What kind of stories? The kind my grandmother used to tell to keep me from wandering in the woods at night. He attempted a laugh that fell flat. That they run with the wolves. that they are wolves. Pavati kept her face neutral, not revealing that she'd heard the same from Mrs. Wiyaka. And what do you think? I think some families cultivate mystery because it gives them power. Trevor shrugged. But I also think there's usually some truth behind legends that persistent. Pavati nodded, making a decision. I need you to cover for me tonight. I have a meeting at Howling Rock. With the Red Horns? Trevor's alarm was evident. Pav, that's not a good idea. Especially not at night. Especially not at Howling Rock. It's about my mother. She hadn't planned to share this, but she needed an ally. I received a photo of her. Recent, Trevor. She's alive. Trevor stared at her. Your mother who disappeared 20 years ago. Yes. He was silent for a moment. Show me. She handed him her phone. Trevor studied the image, his expression grave. And you're sure this isn't doctored? As sure as I can be. So you think the Red Horns have had your mother all this time? Why? What could they possibly want with her? That's what I need, to find out. Pavati took back her phone. But I need someone to know where I am, just in case. Trevor looked troubled. At least let me come with you. The message said to come alone. She squeezed his arm. But I'll keep my phone's location services on. If you don't hear from me by midnight, call Sheriff Davis. I don't like this. Neither do I. Pavati managed a smile. But if there's even a chance my mother's alive. Trevor nodded reluctantly. Promise you'll be careful. The Red Horns didn't get their reputation for nothing. By afternoon, Pavati found herself parked outside the tribal government offices, waiting for Makia. She needed answers before nightfall, and she was done being reactive. When he emerged from the building, she intercepted him. We need to talk. Makia's surprise quickly gave way to that same inscrutable expression. Ms. Blackwood, I didn't expect to see you until our scheduled meeting. Cut the act. She held up her phone with her mother's photo. Explain this. His eyes narrowed as he examined the image. For just a moment, something like genuine shock flickered across his features before he regained composure. Where did you get this? It was sent to me last night, after your visit, along with a demand to meet at Howling Rock tonight. Makia grabbed her arm, pulling her toward a more private spot beside the building. Who sent this to you? I thought you did, or someone from your clan. This isn't my doing. His intensity was unsettling. Who else have you shown this to? Just my assistant. Why? Makia ran a hand over his face, suddenly looking tired. Because there are factions within the tribe who would use your mother's memory as a weapon. Memory. This photo was taken 3 days ago. That's not possible. Why? Because you know she's dead? Because your family had something to do with her disappearance? Pavati challenged. Makia's eyes flashed with something dangerous. Be careful with accusations, Ms. Blackwood. Then give me the truth. What happened to my mother? What's the significance of the mark on your neck that she drew in her journal? Why did Mrs. Wiyaka call your family skinwalkers? At the mention of Mrs. Wiyaka, Makia stiffened. You've spoken with the old woman? She came to warn me about you. Of course she did. Bitterness tinged his voice. Wiyaka has her own agenda. She always has. Which is? To preserve her power. The old ways are dying, and with them, her influence. Makia sighed. Walk with me. Against her better judgment, Pavati followed him to a small garden behind the building. They sat on a bench beneath a towering pine. Your mother was brilliant, Makia began. She came here as a linguistic anthropologist, working to preserve Lakota language and stories. But she discovered something in the archives, ancient texts that reference the Blood Pact. What's the Blood Pact? A covenant between my ancestors and the wolf spirits. In exchange for the ability to take their form, we became guardians of the boundary between worlds. Pavati stared at him. You're saying the Skinwalker legends are true? Makya met her gaze steadily. I'm saying your mother uncovered secrets that certain tribal elders, including Wiyaka, wanted kept hidden. Not about shape-shifting, but about a prophecy tied to the blood moon cycle. What prophecy? That when the daughter of the stolen moon returns under the blood sky, the veil between worlds will tear, allowing the ancient ones to reclaim what was taken from them. And what does that have to do with my mother, or with me? Makia's expression softened. Your mother's Lakota name was Hanwi Wichapi, Moonstar. In the old texts, the daughter of the stolen moon could be interpreted as her child. Realization dawned. Me. This prophecy is about me. Wiyaka and her faction believe so. My family has protected your mother's memory, and you, from those who would use this prophecy for their own purposes. Protected how? By letting me believe she was dead for 20 years? It wasn't my decision. Regret colored his words. I was only a child when it happened. My father was Clan Alpha then. Pavati's mind raced, trying to separate manipulation from truth. So you're saying my mother isn't alive, that this photo is fake, and that Mrs. Wiyaka is trying to lure me to Howling Rock for some nefarious purpose related to an ancient prophecy. The timing isn't coincidental. Tonight's blood moon completes the cycle that began the night your mother disappeared. You still haven't answered my question. Is my mother alive? Makya hesitated. I was told she died that night. But you never saw a body? No one did. Pavati stood abruptly. Then I'm going to Howling Rock tonight. If there's even a chance, it's a trap. Makya rose as well. Wiyaka and her followers believe your presence at the sacred site during the blood moon will fulfill the prophecy, opening the doorway for spirits that should remain bound. And if I don't go, I'll never know the truth about my mother. Makya studied her, conflict evident in his expression. Then I'm coming with you. The message said to come alone. The message was meant to isolate you, to make you vulnerable. He stepped closer. Whatever you think of me or my family, believe this. If you go to Howling Rock alone tonight, you won't return. The conviction in his voice sent a chill through her. Why should I trust you? Because despite what Wiyaka told you, my family has kept watch over you since your mother vanished. Why do you think your research permits for Wolf Lake were approved when others were denied? Why do you think you've never encountered trouble on reservation land despite working in sensitive areas? Pavati remembered the inexplicable ease with which her permits had been granted, the curious deference some tribal members showed her. If I let you come, how do I know you won't just deliver me to whatever forces want to use me for this? Prophecy? Makya reached slowly for his collar, pulling it aside to fully reveal the mark she'd glimpsed before, an intricate symbol of a wolf surrounded by ancient glyphs. This mark binds me to protect the balance. Going against that would destroy me more surely than any physical threat. Something in his eyes, a depth of conviction beyond manipulation, swayed her. Fine. But we do this my way. I want answers, not more mysteries. Fair enough. Makya nodded. Meet me at sunset at the base of the trail. Come prepared for cold. Blood moons bring bitter winds. Trevor was waiting when Pavati returned to the museum. Well, what did Redhorn say? That the photo might be manipulated. That there are tribal factions using me as a pawn in some ancient power struggle, and that going to Howling Rock tonight is walking into a trap. She began gathering equipment. Flashlight, first aid kit, extra batteries. So you're not going, right? Trevor's hope was short-lived. I'm going, but Makia's coming with me. The same guy you thought might be behind all this? That's your safety plan? Pavati paused. I don't have better options. If my mother is alive, and if she's not, if this is exactly the trap Redhorn says it is. She had no answer for that. Trevor sighed heavily. At least take this. He handed her a small object that resembled a pen. Push the button if you're in trouble. It's a tactical strobe. Disorients. Attackers and can be seen for miles in the dark. Pavati took it gratefully. Thanks. I'll check in every hour. If I miss a check-in... Sheriff Davis, I know. Trevor's worry was palpable. Just be careful. There are stories about howling. Rock during blood moons. People going up who never come back down or who return changed. Changed how? Like they left something of themselves up there or brought something else back. Trevor shook his head. Just superstition, probably. But still. As evening approached, Pavati found herself back at her apartment, preparing for whatever awaited at Howling Rock. She changed into hiking boots and warm layers, tucking her mother's journal into an inner pocket. A knock at her door revealed Mrs. Wiaka, her ancient face creased with concern. You're going to the rock tonight? It wasn't a question. Yes. But not alone. The old woman's eyes narrowed. You've spoken with the Redhorn Alpha. How did you... The spirits watch and whisper, child. Mrs. Wiaka pushed past her into the apartment for the second time in 24 hours. He's told you his version of the truth, no doubt. That I seek power. That your mother's image is false. That the prophecy is something to fear. Pavati crossed her arms. And you're here to tell me different? I'm here to give you this. The old woman extended a leather pouch. Your mother's last protection. Inside was a small carving of a wolf with crystal eyes. What is it? A binding stone. It prevents the spirit from separating from the body during transformation. Transformation. Pavati couldn't keep the skepticism from her voice. Mock if you must. But when the moon rises full and red, and the Redhorn shows his true nature, this will protect you from the same fate that claimed your mother. Which was what, exactly? Mrs. Wiaka's gaze was piercing. To be caught between worlds, neither fully human nor fully spirit. To exist as a shadow of yourself while your body serves as vessel for something ancient and hungry. Despite her scientific mind, Pavati felt cold dread seeping into her bones. Are you saying my mother is possessed? I'm saying the woman who returns to you tonight will not be the mother you remember. Not entirely. Mrs. Wiaka moved toward the door. Keep the stone close. Trust nothing the Redhorn tells you. And when the choice comes, and it will, remember that some doors, once opened, cannot be closed again. After the old woman left, Pavati sat heavily on her couch, turning the small carving over in her hands. The crystal eyes caught the light, seeming to glow from within. Her phone buzzed, with a text from Makya. Time to go. I'll be at the trailhead in 20 minutes. As she gathered her backpack, a final text came through from the unknown number. The daughter returns to the mother. The circle closes tonight. Blood calls to blood. Attached was another photo, this one showing her mother standing at Howling Rock, her face lifted toward what would soon be a blood-red moon, her eyes reflecting light like a wolf's. Resolution crystallized within Pavati. Whatever awaited at Howling Rock, truth or trap, reunion or revelation, she would face it. Science had failed to explain her mother's disappearance for 20 years. Perhaps it was time to consider explanations beyond the rational world. As she locked her apartment, the carved wolf seemed to grow warmer in her pocket, its crystal eyes a promise or a warning of what the night would bring. Twilight had begun its slow surrender tonight when Pavati arrived at the trailhead for Howling Rock. The parking area was deserted except for Makia's truck, its black exterior reflecting the darkening sky. He stood waiting, his tall figure silhouetted against the forest backdrop. You came. Relief colored his voice. Did you think I wouldn't? Pavati adjusted her backpack, the carved wolf figurine a reassuring weight in her pocket. I thought, you might come alone, trying to protect your independence. She managed a tight smile. The day isn't over yet. Makia nodded toward the trail that disappeared into dense pine forest. It's about 2 miles to the summit. We should reach Howling Rock before the moon crests. The trail began innocuously enough, well-maintained and gently sloping. As they walked, Pavati broke the silence. Tell me about my mother. What was she like when you knew her? Makia seemed surprised by the question. I was only 10 when she disappeared, but I remember her laugh. It echoed like it was bouncing off mountains, even indoors. And she told the best stories. She used to tell me bedtime stories about wolf people. Pavati watched him carefully. I always thought she made them up. The best stories have truth at their core. Makia's pace was steady, his movements fluid despite the increasingly difficult terrain. Your mother understood that better than most. As the trail steepened, conversation gave way to the sounds of the forest, the whisper of wind through pines, the occasional call of a night bird, and something else, a rhythmic sound in the distance. Do you hear that? Pavati paused, listening. Drums. Makia's expression tightened. They've already begun. Who? Wiaka's followers. They're preparing the site. The sky darkened fully as they climbed, higher. When Makia suggested flashlights, Pavati was surprised to find he navigated the treacherous path with uncanny precision, never stumbling even on loose rocks and exposed roots. You know this trail well, she observed. My family has come to Howling Rock for generations, usually alone, usually at night. For what purpose? He hesitated. Communion with our ancestors. You mean the wolf spirits? Makia stopped, turning to face her fully. The night had brought a change to his eyes. They seemed to gather what little light remained, reflecting it back with an amber glow. You don't believe, do you? Despite everything you've learned, everything you've seen, you still think this is all superstition and manipulation. I believe something happened to my mother. I believe there are secrets being kept. But shapeshifters, ancient spirits, prophecies. Pavati shook her head. No, my scientific mind can't accept that. What would it take to convince you? There was an edge to his voice now. What proof would satisfy your scientist's heart? Before she could answer, a howl pierced the night. Close, too close. Not the distant call of a wild wolf, but something that raised the hairs on her neck. Makia cursed under his breath. We need to move faster. They're coming. Who's coming? My father's enforcers. If they find us before we reach the rock, they'll stop us, by any means necessary. Your father? I thought you said you were protecting me from Wiaka and her followers. It's complicated. Makia took her arm, urging her forward. The clan is divided. My father believes the prophecy should never be fulfilled, that the doorway should remain closed at all costs. Wiaka believes it's time for the Ancient Ones to return. I just want the truth. About your mother. About the prophecy. About what really happened 20 years ago. Another howl sounded, answered by several more from different directions. They were being surrounded. Those aren't wolves, Pavati whispered, her scientific certainty wavering. Wolves don't hunt this way. No, they don't. Makia's voice had dropped an octave, becoming almost a growl. Stay close to me. The drumming grew louder as they ascended, accompanied now by chanting. In Lakota, the path opened suddenly into a clearing dominated by a massive rock formation. Howling Rock, named for its howl-like sound when wind rushed through its natural arches. Figures moved around a bonfire at the base of the rock, perhaps a dozen, people in ceremonial dress. At their center stood Mrs. Wiaka, her ancient face transformed by firelight into something both beautiful and terrible. And beside her, impossible yet undeniable, stood Emma Blackwood. Pavati froze, her breath catching. "Mom?" The woman turned, her face the same yet different from Pavati's memories. Older, harder, with eyes that reflected the firelight like Makya's. "Pavati." Her voice was exactly as Pavati remembered. "My daughter, you've come." Makya gripped Pavati's arm, preventing her from rushing forward. "Wait, something's not right." Emma's gaze shifted to Makya, recognition and something like hatred flashing across her features. "Asa Redhorn's son, you've grown into your father's image. And you haven't aged as much as you should have," Makya replied cautiously. 20 years, yet you look barely 10 years older." "Mrs." Wiaka stepped forward, her ceremonial staff striking the ground with each step. "The daughter of the moon has returned as foretold. The circle nears completion." Howls erupted from the forest behind them, closer now, converging on the clearing. "We don't have much time," Emma said urgently. "Pavati, come. There's so much I need to tell you to explain." Every instinct told Pavati to run to her mother, to embrace the woman she'd mourned for 20 years. But Makya's warning and Mrs. Wiaka's cryptic words held her back. "Why did you leave me?" The question burst from Pavati's heart. "All these years, I thought you were dead." Pain crossed Emma's face. "I had no choice. The Redhorn clan would have killed me, killed us both, to prevent the prophecy." "What prophecy? What does it actually say?" Pavati demanded, looking between her mother, Wiaka, and Makya. Mrs. Wiaka answered, "When the blood moon rises for the third time in the cycle of return, the daughter of she who walks between worlds shall unlock the ancient doorway. The spirits of our ancestors will cross back to reclaim what was stolen by the skinwalkers." "And what was stolen?" Pavati looked to Makya, whose tension was palpable. "Power," Emma answered before Makya could speak. "The Redhorn clan made a pact with wolf spirits centuries ago, but they betrayed those spirits, trapped them between worlds, and stole their ability to shift forms." "That's not the whole truth," Makya countered. "The spirits your mother speaks of aren't benevolent ancestors. They're ancient predators who would consume this world if released." Emma's face hardened. "More Redhorn lies. They've hoarded power for generations, denying others their birthright." The howls surrounding them grew louder, converging on the clearing. Figures emerged from the trees, men and women, with the same amber-flecked eyes as Makya. "Step away from my son," commanded a powerful voice. A tall man with silver-streaked black hair strode into the firelight, his presence dominating the space. "Emma Blackwood, 20 years hasn't softened your determination to destroy us." "Asa," Emma's voice dripped with contempt. "Still hiding behind half-truths and manipulation." Pavati looked between them, sensing years of conflict. "Someone tell me the actual truth. What happened to my mother? What does this prophecy really mean?" Asa Redhorn's eyes, so similar to Makya's, fixed on her. "Your mother discovered ancient texts describing how to break the pact that binds dangerous spirits to their realm. She became obsessed with the power this knowledge offered." "That's not true," Emma protested. "I discovered how the Redhorns betrayed the original agreement. The spirits seek justice, not destruction." "Then why did you try to complete the ritual 20 years ago?" Asa challenged. "Why were you willing to sacrifice your own daughter as the vessel?" The accusation hit Pavati like a physical blow. "What?" Emma's expression faltered. "He's twisting what happened. I was trying to protect you." Mrs. Wiaka struck her staff against the ground, silencing everyone. Enough! The moon rises to its apex. The time for the choosing is upon us. As if summoned by her words, the moon appeared fully above the tree line, enormous and blood red, casting the clearing in crimson light. The rock formation seemed to pulse with energy, ancient symbols carved into its surface beginning to glow faintly. Pavati. Her mother extended a hand. Come to me. Let me explain everything. Don't, Makya warned. Once you cross that threshold, there's no turning back. The carved wolf in Pavati's pocket grew hot, almost burning through her jacket. She pulled it out reflexively. Emma's eyes widened at the sight of it. Where did you get that? Mrs. Wiyaka gave it to me. Said it was protection. A cruel smile twisted the old woman's lips. Protection indeed. For what's to come? The moment the moonlight touched the carving, it shattered in Pavati's hand, releasing a wisp of blue energy that surrounded her like mist. A strange sensation washed over her, like her skin had suddenly become too tight. What's happening? Panic edged her voice as the sensation intensified. The binding is breaking, Makya explained urgently. The stone wasn't protection. It was a catalyst. Emma rushed forward but was blocked by an invisible barrier surrounding the fire. Wiyaka, this wasn't our agreement. Agreements change, Moonstar. The old woman raised her arms toward the blood moon. The vessel is prepared. The doorway opens. Pain lanced through Pavati as the blue mist sank into her skin. Her vision blurred, doubling, showing her both the physical world and something else. A shadow realm where twisted forms prowled and circled, seeking entry. Make it stop, she gasped, falling to her knees. Father. Makya turned to Asa desperately. We have to help her. Asa's face was grim. There's only one way. He looked to his people. The pact must be honored. Blood calls to blood. As one, the Redhorn clan members dropped to all fours. Pavati watched in disbelieving horror as their bodies contorted, bones cracking and reforming, skin sprouting thick fur. Where humans had stood moments before, massive wolves now gathered, larger than any natural wolf, their eyes glowing with human intelligence. Only Makya remained unchanged. Torn between his father's command and Pavati's suffering. You have to choose. Emma called to her daughter through the barrier, tears streaming down her face. You have to let them in, or they'll tear you apart from the inside. Don't listen, Makya countered, kneeling beside her. The spirits she speaks of will consume your essence, wearing your body like a costume. That's what happened to her. Why? She hasn't aged normally. Why her eyes reflect light. She's not fully your mother anymore. The truth hit Pavati with stunning clarity. The reason her mother had disappeared. Why no body was found. She hadn't drowned. She'd become a vessel. Just as Wiyaka intended for Pavati now. I don't want this. Pavati choked out, fighting against the increasing pressure as the shadow realm pressed closer. There's a way, Makya whispered urgently. But you have to trust me completely. Why should I trust any of you? Bitterness filled her as betrayal upon betrayal was revealed. Because unlike everyone else here, I've never lied to you. His amber eyes held hers. I told you there were factions with different agendas. I told you coming here was dangerous. I came anyway. To help you face the truth, the enormous black wolf that had been Asa Redhorn approached, a growl rumbling from its chest. The message was clear. Time was running out. What do I do? Pavati asked, her resistance weakening as the shadows pressed harder. Accept my protection, Makya said simply. Not as a subordinate, but as an equal. The pact our ancestors made wasn't meant to trap spirits or steal power. It was a balance. Wolf spirits gained physical form sometimes. Humans gained wolf abilities sometimes. Perfect equilibrium. And what broke the balance? Greed. Fear. The usual human failings. Makia extended his hand. I can't promise you'll like what comes next. But I promise you'll remain yourself, not a vessel, not possessed. Behind them, Mrs. Wiyaka's chanting reached a crescendo. The barrier around the fire flared, then began to collapse. Decide now, Makia urged. With the last of her strength, fighting against the invasion attempting to claim her from within, Pavati reached for his hand. The moment their fingers touched, something electric passed between them. The mark on Makia's neck flared with blue, light, spreading like living ink down his arm to her hand, wrapping around her wrist in an intricate pattern. The pressure of the shadow realm receded immediately. In its place came a different sensation. A wild, primal power flowing through her veins, awakening something that had always been dormant within. No! Wiyaka shrieked, as the blue mist evaporated from around Pavati. The vessel was prepared. The doorway was opening. Emma's face showed conflicting emotions, relief battling with bitter disappointment. What have you done, Makia? Restored balance, he answered simply, helping Pavati to her feet. As the prophecy truly intended. The wolves surrounding them shifted uneasily, looking to their alpha for direction. Asa approached his son, massive head lowered. You've claimed her as pack, the thought reached Pavati's mind without words. Somehow, she understood the wolf's meaning. You've broken tradition. I've honored the original pact, Makia replied aloud, and prevented an atrocity. The fire suddenly roared upward as Mrs. Wiyaka flung herself forward, her frail appearance belying surprising strength. You fool! Do you know what you've done? They were promised return. Her hand clutched a bone knife that arced toward Makia's throat. Pavati reacted without thinking. Faster than humanly possible, she caught the old woman's wrist. Strength surged through her as she twisted, forcing Wiyaka to drop the knife. Enough blood has been spilled for this prophecy, Pavati growled, her voice carrying undertones that raised goosebumps on her own arms. The blood moon reached its zenith, directly above Howling Rock. The ancient symbols carved into the stone flared once, brilliantly, then faded to normal. It's done, Makia said quietly. The moment has passed. Mrs. Wiyaka collapsed to her knees, suddenly appearing every one of her many years. They will never forgive this betrayal. Who won't forgive? Pavati demanded. What spirits are these that supposedly want to return? It was Emma who answered, her voice hollow. The old ones, those who ruled before humans. They promised power to whoever freed them. She looked at her daughter with eyes that shifted between human and something else. I thought I could control it, could use their power without being consumed by it. I was wrong. Understanding dawned on Pavati. You're fighting them, inside yourself, all these years. Emma nodded wearily. They've taken most of me, but not all. Not yet. Her gaze shifted to the Redhorn wolves. Your ancestors understood the danger. That's why they created the pact. Not to steal power, but to prevent catastrophe. Asa shifted back to human form, his transformation smooth and controlled. He stood naked and unashamed in the moonlight. The blood moon completes the cycle. The threat passes for another generation. Unless they find another way, Emma cautioned. They're patient. 20 years is nothing to them. Pavati looked down at her wrist, where Makia's mark had transferred, a binding, a protection, and something more. What happens to me now? You've been given the gift of our bloodline, Asa explained, the ability to shift forms, to run with the pack if you choose. And if I don't choose that? The mark protects you regardless, Makia said. You remain fully yourself, fully human, just with certain enhancements. And my mother? Poverty turned to Emma, whose appearance seemed to waver in the moonlight, sometimes solid, sometimes translucent. I cannot stay. Emma's voice broke. What remains of me grows weaker. The entities within grow stronger. There must be something we can do, Pavati insisted, reaching for her mother only to have her step back. There is no cure for what was done. Tears glimmered in Emma's eyes. But seeing you, strong, whole, making better choices than I did, that's enough. Mrs. Wiyaka laughed bitterly from where she knelt. How touching. But this changes nothing. The cycle will begin again. New vessels will be found. Not if we end it permanently, Makia suggested, looking to his father. The texts your mother found, they weren't just about opening doorways, were they? They contained the means to seal them forever. Asa's expression was guarded, at great cost. A cost I'm willing to pay, Emma said firmly. Use what remains of my essence to seal the breach. Let me do this one thing right. Pavati shook her head desperately. No, I just found you again. Emma smiled sadly. You never lost me, not really. I've watched over you as much as I could. She reached out, her fingers stopping just short of touching Pavati's cheek. My beautiful, brilliant daughter, so much stronger than I ever was. The wolves of the Redhorn clan gathered in a circle around them. Asa spoke with authority that none challenged. It shall be done. Tonight, under the blood moon, we will close the doorway forever. As the ritual preparations began, Pavati stood beside Makia, watching her mother with a heart both breaking and healing. Did you know it would come to this? She asked him softly. No, he admitted. I knew only that you deserved the truth, whatever it might be. And now? Makia looked down at the mark on her wrist, then at his own. Now you have choices to make about who you are, what you want to become. Around them, the night pulsed with ancient power as one chapter prepared to close and another to begin. Darkness enveloped the ceremonial grounds as clouds temporarily obscured the blood moon. The Redhorn pack worked with practiced efficiency, arranging stones in intricate patterns around Howling Rock, while Asa and the elders consulted ancient texts. Pavati sat apart, watching her mother from a distance, afraid to approach yet unable to look away. Emma Blackwood, the mother she'd mourned for 20 years, seemed to flicker between solidity and transparency as the entities within her fought her remaining control. Despite this internal battle, her gaze rarely left her daughter, drinking in the sight of the woman Pavati had become. She's still fighting them, Makia said, settling beside Pavati on a fallen log. After 2 decades, most vessels surrender completely within months. What will happen to her after? Pavati couldn't bring herself to be more specific. Makia hesitated. The texts speak of different outcomes. If the ritual works as intended, the doorway closes permanently. The entities return to their realm. And my mother dies, Pavati finished flatly. Her physical form would no longer have an animating force, he confirmed gently. But there's another possibility. Some accounts suggest that if enough of her original essence remains, she might continue, changed, but still herself. Hope fluttered weakly in Pavati's chest. Is that likely? I don't know. This ritual hasn't been performed in over 4 centuries. They fell silent as Mrs. Wiyaka was led past them by 2 Redhorn guards, her wrists bound with cord marked with symbols. The old woman's eyes burned with hatred as they settled on Pavati. You think you've won, she hissed. But they'll find another way. They always do. After she was taken to a separate area for containment, Pavati turned to Makia. Why did she do it? Why betray her own people to these entities? Power, immortality, revenge, the usual temptations. Makia's expression hardened. Wiyaka's family once shared leadership with mine. When my ancestors made the pact with the wolf spirits, her lineage was excluded because they sought dominance rather than balance. So this was about an ancient grudge? That, and the entities are persuasive. They understand human weakness intimately and exploit it masterfully. He glanced at the mark on her wrist. How does it feel? Pavati flexed her hand, still marveling at the intricate pattern that had transferred from his skin to hers. Strange. Like there's something humming just beneath my skin, waiting to be acknowledged. The wolf spirit that answered your call? Is patient. It won't force transformation, unlike what Wiyaka attempted to do to you. You say that like the spirit is sentient. It is. Makia's amber eyes reflected what little light remained. Not human consciousness, but awareness. Intent. The pact is symbiotic, not parasitic like what the old ones offer. Asa approached. Them, his authority evident in how the others deferred to him despite his now clothed human appearance. The preparations are complete. We must begin before the moon exits the zenith position. Rising, Pavati followed both men to the center of the ceremonial grounds where her mother waited. Up close, Emma's condition was more apparent, her form seeming to contain multiple overlapping shadows that shifted and moved independently of her body. Pavati. Emma's voice wavered between her familiar tone and something deeper, more resonant. There are things you should know before... I have so many questions, Pavati began, emotion threatening to overwhelm her. There's no time, Asa interrupted sternly. The alignment is critical. Emma glared at him. You've taken everything else from us, Asa. Allow me these moments with my daughter. To Pavati's surprise, the Redhorn Alpha stepped back, conceding with a terse nod. Listen carefully, Emma said urgently, her form flickering more rapidly now. What I did 20 years ago was unforgivable. I was arrogant, convinced I could outsmart beings that had existed for millennia. Why did you leave me? The child's question escaped before Pavati could stop it. Pain etched itself across Emma's features. To protect you. Once I realized what was happening, that I was losing control, I knew they would use me to reach you. The prophecy always pointed to you, not me. What's so special about me? Your bloodline. My grandmother was Wiyaka's cousin. We carry the old magic, but unlike the Redhorns, we never formed a protective pact. Emma's hands trembled as she reached for Pavati's, stopping just short of touching. I tried to create my own pact that night, tried to secure protection for both of us. Instead, I opened myself to possession. A mournful howl rose from one of the wolves standing guard, echoed by others around the perimeter. The clouds parted, revealing the blood moon directly overhead, bathing everything in crimson light. It's time, Asa announced. The ritual requires the willing sacrifice of the vessel and the blood of her bloodline to seal the breach. Alarm shot through Pavati. Blood? You never mentioned a few drops only, Makia assured her quickly. The ritual needs your essence, not your life. Emma nodded confirmation. This is my choice, Pavati, my atonement. Her expression became fierce. But promise me something. After this, leave Pine Ridge. Don't let them draw you into their world completely. Before Pavati could respond, Asa signaled to his pack. Four wolves approached, taking positions at compass points around Emma. At their center, Howling Rock began to emit a low vibration, the ancient symbols carved into its surface glowing with increasing intensity. The breach manifests, Asa explained, handing Pavati a small, ornate knife. When it reaches full aperture, we'll have moments to complete the ritual. Your mother will draw the entities fully into herself, becoming their soul vessel. You'll make a small cut. Here. He indicated, his palm. Let 7 drops fall on the central stone while speaking the binding words. What binding words? Makya stepped forward. I'll guide you through them. The vibration from Howling Rock intensified, resonating through the ground beneath their feet. The air around Emma began to distort, reality itself seeming to thin, as pressure built from another dimension. Quickly, Asa urged. They sense what we're doing. They'll resist. Emma closed her eyes, her expression transforming to one of intense concentration. When she opened them again, they glowed with an eerie blue light. I'm ready. Pavati gripped the knife, her scientist's mind still struggling to process what her senses were telling her was real. The mark on her wrist pulsed in time with the vibrations from the rock, connecting her to forces she'd spent a lifetime dismissing as superstition. Now! Asa commanded as a vertical seam of blue light appeared in the air beside Howling Rock. Emma threw her head back, a silent scream distorting her features as she deliberately lowered her remaining defenses. The shadowy entities within her surged forward, no longer contained. Her body rose several inches off the ground, suspended by unnatural forces. Make the cut, Makya instructed, his voice steady despite the chaos unfolding around them. Pavati pressed the blade to her palm, wincing as it bit into flesh. Blood welled immediately, dark in the red moonlight. 7 drops on the center. Stone, Makya reminded her, guiding her hand over an obsidian rock placed directly beneath her floating mother. Repeat after me. Maka Kinlel, Mahpia Kinlel, Wanagi Kinhel. As her blood struck the stone, Pavati repeated the Lakota words. Earth, here sky, here spirits there. The reaction was immediate and terrifying. Emma's body contorted as the entities fought their impending banishment. The seam of light widened, revealing glimpses of a shadow realm where massive shapes moved with predatory intent. Teopakin, Natake, Makya continued urgently. The door is locked. Teopakin Natake, Pavati echoed. Emma's body began to glow from within, blue light shining from her eyes, mouth, and fingertips. The entities were fully manifesting now, no longer hiding within her form, but emerging as shadowy apparitions around her. Wanagi kinhel owihanke waniche, Makya completed. Spirits there, for eternity. As Pavati repeated the final phrase, her blood on the stone burst into blue flame. The fire raced upward, encircling Emma and the manifesting entities in a column of supernatural light that connected to the blood moon overhead. Her mother's eyes met hers one last time, clear, human, and at peace, before the column of light contracted violently inward. The entities shrieked in voices that existed beyond normal hearing, tearing at the fabric of reality as they were pulled back through the seam. In a final, blinding flash, the breach collapsed. Emma and the entities vanished, leaving nothing but a scorch mark on the ground where she had hovered. The silence that followed was absolute. Even the forest creatures held their breath as the last energies of the ritual dissipated. The blood moon, its purpose fulfilled, began to move past its zenith position. Pavati stood motionless, staring at the empty space where her mother had been. The finality of it, the absolute absence, hit her like a physical blow. Her knees buckled. Makya caught her before she fell, supporting her weight effortlessly. It's done, he murmured. The doorway is sealed. She's gone, Pavati whispered. Really gone this time. Around them, the Redhorn pack shifted back, to human form one by one, exhausted by the night's events. Asa approached his son and Pavati, his expression solemn. Your mother's sacrifice will not be forgotten, he said formally. She has redeemed her legacy. The words were meant as comfort, but felt hollow to Pavati. What now? She asked numbly. Now you decide, Asa replied. You bear the mark of our clan through my son's intervention. By our oldest laws, you have the right to claim place among us. Or, Pavati prompted, sensing an alternative. Or you honor your mother's last wish. You leave Pine Ridge and return to the human world, using the gifts you've received as you see fit. Makia tensed beside her. Father. It must be her. Choice, Asa cut him off. That was always the failing of our ancestors. They decided for others rather than allowing free will. The mark on Pavati's wrist pulsed, reminding her of the changes she'd undergone. The wolf spirit that had answered. Her call remained a presence just below the surface of her consciousness. Not intrusive, but undeniably there. I need time, she finally said. This is too much to process in one night. Asa nodded. The moon cycle grants you 30 days to decide. After that, the bond will either strengthen or fade, depending on your choice. As the ceremonial grounds cleared, members of the Redhorn clan departing in small groups, Pavati remained beside the scorch mark where her mother had vanished. Dawn approached, the eastern sky lightening to pale gray. What will happen to Mrs. Wiaka? She asked as Makia returned from conferring with his father. Exile, he replied, stripped of position and banned from tribal lands. We can't execute her without becoming what we fight against, but we can't risk her finding new vessels for the entities. She won't stop trying. No, but without access to the sacred sites or tribal resources, her options are limited. Makia hesitated. There's something else you should know. Something we found among your mother's possessions after she disappeared. From an inner pocket, he withdrew a weathered envelope sealed with wax. She left this for you, in case the worst happened. My father kept it all these years, uncertain whether giving it to you would do more harm than good. Pavati accepted. The letter with trembling hands, recognizing her mother's handwriting instantly. The seal bore the same symbol now marked on her wrist. I'll leave you to read it in private, Makia offered, stepping away. Stay, Pavati said softly. Please. Breaking the seal, she unfolded pages covered in her mother's flowing script. As dawn's first light spilled over the horizon, Pavati read words written 2 decades earlier, a mother's explanation, apology, and final guidance to the daughter she knew she might never see grow up. Emma wrote of her discovery of the ancient texts, her fascination with the power they described, and her gradual corruption by the entities who whispered promises through the weakening barrier. She detailed her realization, too late, that she had been manipulated, and her desperate attempt to protect Pavati by fleeing into the wilderness rather than completing the ritual that would have made her daughter a vessel. The final paragraphs brought fresh tears. My dearest Pavati, if you're reading this, I've likely made my final choice to protect you rather than serve them. Know that whatever else I've done wrong, this choice I make freely and with my whole heart. A mother's love is the one truth the entities could never corrupt or take from me. You will face choices I cannot imagine. The path between worlds is never simple or straight. But I trust the woman you will become to choose wisely where I failed. Whether you embrace the wolf or walk solely as human matters less than this, remain true to yourself. Question everything. Love fiercely. The entities fear human connection more than any weapon or ritual. Our capacity for selfless love is foreign to them. It is our greatest strength against their influence. I love you beyond words, beyond worlds, beyond time. As Pavati folded the letter, the rising sun cast golden light across Howling. Rock. The ancient symbols so ominous in the night now appeared as mere weathered carvings. She knew, Pavati said quietly. Even then, she knew what would happen. She hoped for a different outcome, Makia corrected gently. But she prepared for the most likely one. Exhaustion suddenly washed over Pavati. Physical, emotional, spiritual depletion unlike anything she'd experienced before. I can't process any more right now. You don't have to. Makia offered his hand. Let me take you home. As they descended the trail in daylight, the events of the night seemed almost dreamlike, Yet the mark on her wrist and the letter in her pocket provided tangible proof that everything had happened exactly as she remembered. Trevor was waiting anxiously at the trailhead, dark circles under his eyes suggesting he'd been there all night. He rushed forward as they emerged from the tree line. "Pav! Thank God!" Relief transformed to wariness as he noticed Makia. "You okay?" "I'm fine," she assured him, though "fine" was hardly adequate to describe her current state. "Just tired. Very, very tired." Trevor's gaze fixed on her wrist where the mark was partly visible beneath her sleeve. His expression shifted to something Pavati couldn't quite read. "What happened up there?" "It's a long story," she sidestepped. "One I'm not ready to tell just yet." "But you're safe?" Trevor pressed, concern evident. "She's under the protection of my family now," Makia answered before Pavati could respond. "No harm will come to her." An awkward triangle formed between them. Trevor's obvious suspicion, Makia's territorial assertion, and Pavati's overwhelming need for space to process everything that had happened. "I just want to go home and sleep for about a week," she finally said, breaking the tension. As Trevor drove her back to her apartment, Makia followed in his truck, a silent guardian whether she wanted one or not. The mark on her wrist seemed to pulse in time with her heartbeat, a constant reminder of decisions yet to be made. What neither man knew was that among her mother's final words was a warning that the sealed doorway was not the only threat. Other forces had taken notice of the barriers between worlds, forces that might view Pavati's newfound power as either a threat or an opportunity. The game had changed, but it was far from over. As Pavati drifted into exhausted sleep in her apartment, the carved wolf figurine Mrs. Wiaka had given her, shattered during the ritual, reassembled itself piece by piece on her nightstand, its crystal eyes glowing with renewed purpose. The old woman's exile had been merely the first move in a much longer game. Visions plagued Pavati's dreams. Wolves running through moonlit forests, ancient beings watching from between worlds, her mother's face transitioning between human and other. She woke gasping, disoriented, as sunset painted her bedroom walls with crimson light. She'd slept the entire day away. The events at Howling Rock felt simultaneously distant and immediate, as though they'd happened years ago and only moments before. Sitting up, Pavati saw a note had been slipped under her door. "Called the museum. Told them you're taking personal days. Rest. We'll talk when you're ready. Trevor." Grateful for his thoughtfulness, she moved to the kitchen for water, catching her reflection in the hallway mirror. She looked the same, dark hair disheveled from sleep, brown eyes slightly bloodshot, but felt fundamentally altered. The mark on her wrist pulsed gently, a constant reminder of the changes beneath her skin. As she filled a glass at the sink, a sound from her living room froze her in place. Someone was in her apartment. Setting the glass down silently, she reached for a knife from the block. The wolf presence within her stirred, heightening her senses. She could smell the intruder now, a familiar scent of pine and something wild. "Breaking and entering is still a crime, even for alphas," she called out, rounding the corner with knife raised. Makia sat calmly on her couch, seemingly unsurprised by her armed approach. "Your locks need upgrading if you're going to be part of our world." "I haven't decided that yet." She lowered the knife but didn't put it down. "Why are you here?" "To warn you." He nodded toward her bedroom. "You've noticed your visitor." Alarm shot through her. "What visitor?" Makia rose and moved toward her bedroom, Pavati following cautiously. He pointed to her nightstand where the carved wolf figurine sat intact, the same one that had shattered in her hand at Howling Rock. "That's impossible," she whispered. "It broke completely." "Wiaka's magic is subtle but persistent." Makia kept his distance from the figurine. "It's a beacon, calling to something, or someone." Pavati approached it cautiously, I thought. The ritual closed all doorways. The main breach, yes. But there are always cracks in reality for those determined enough to find them. He met her eyes. The old ones aren't the only entities that seek access to our world. So what do? Destroy it again? That didn't work so well last time. Makia's voice held a trace of dry humor. No, we need to understand what it's calling to before we decide how to handle it. Pavati set the knife down and picked up her mother's letter instead, drawing strength from the connection to Emma. My mother mentioned other forces taking notice of the barriers between worlds. Your mother was remarkably prescient. Makia gestured to the letter. May I? After a moment's hesitation, Pavati handed it to him. As he read, his expression shifted from curiosity to concern to something approaching respect. Emma understood, more than any of us realized, he said finally, returning the letter. She wasn't just fighting the entities inside her. She was gathering intelligence from them. What does that mean for me? Makia's gaze was direct. It means you have a choice to make sooner rather than later. The mark I gave you offers protection and certain abilities, but it also makes you visible to those who navigate between worlds. Like a supernatural beacon? More like a declaration. It announces that you're under the protection of the wolf pack, which deters some threats and attracts others. The implication settled heavily. So regardless of what I choose, I'm already involved. Yes. No apology. Just truth. Pavati moved to the window, watching the last rays of sunset disappear behind the mountains. The moon, no longer blood red, but still full, was rising in the east. What would happen if I just left? Went somewhere far from Pine Ridge? Far from all of this? You could try, Makia acknowledged. Some have. Sometimes it even works for a while. But the mark remains, and with it, the connection. To you? The question emerged more pointed than she intended. To the wolf spirit that answered your call. To the pack, by extension. To me. In a way that's more complicated. Pavati turned back to him. Explain complicated. Makia seemed to choose his words carefully. When a red horn extends protection through the mark, it creates a bond. Not control. Nothing like what the entities would have done to you. But a connection. Awareness. So you can what? Sense my emotions? Track me? Not specifically. I would know if you were in danger. I would sense extreme emotions. Distance. Would weaken the connection, but never sever it completely. Pavati processed this, her scientist's mind cataloging implications, while the newly awakened part of her understood on a deeper level. And if I fully accept the wolf spirit? If I choose to transform? The connection deepens. You become truly pack, able to communicate with others in wolf form, to share in the collective strength. And if I reject it? The spirit retreats, but doesn't leave completely. The mark fades. You retain some enhanced senses, some protection, but remain essentially human. He met her gaze steadily. Neither choice is wrong, Pavati. That's what my father meant about free will. Her phone buzzed from the kitchen counter. A text from Trevor. Just checking in. You okay? Makia observed her reading the message. He cares for you. He's a friend. She typed a quick reassurance to Trevor. A human friend who might not understand any of this. Are you so sure? Makia's question held an odd note. Pine Ridge has many secrets, and not all who know of our world carry visible marks. Before she could question him further, the carved wolf figurine on her nightstand began to emit a soft, pulsing glow. The crystal eyes flashed with increasing intensity. Something's happening, she warned unnecessarily. Makia moved with preternatural speed, positioning himself between Pavati and the figurine. It's activating. Someone's using it to locate you. The air in the bedroom seemed to thicken, pressure building as it had at Howling Rock. The figurine's glow intensified until looking directly at it became painful. "We need to leave," Makya urged, taking her arm. "Now." They had barely reached the living room when a loud crack split the air. A flash of blinding light from the bedroom was followed by a thud, as if something heavy had landed on the floor. Silence stretched for 3 heartbeats before a voice called out, a voice Pavati recognized instantly. "Pavati, are you there?" Mrs. Wiyaka's frail form appeared in the bedroom doorway, looking impossibly unchanged despite her supposed exile. "I need your help, child." Makya pushed Pavati behind him, his body tensing. "You were banished from tribal lands. How did you breach the wards?" The old woman smiled, the expression failing to reach her eyes. "Your father's magic has always had vulnerabilities, especially when it comes to blood ties." "What blood ties?" Pavati demanded. "You're not related to me." "Are we not? Did your mother never mention that my sister was her grandmother?" Mrs. Wiyaka's smile widened. "We share blood, child. Old blood. Powerful blood." Pavati looked to Makya, who seemed genuinely shocked by this revelation. "She's lying," he said, but uncertainty colored his voice. "Am I?" Mrs. Wiyaka pulled an ancient photograph from her pocket, tossing it onto the coffee table. "See for yourself." The sepia image showed 2 young women, one recognizably a youthful Mrs. Wiyaka, the other bearing a striking resemblance to Pavati's mother. "That proves nothing," Makya insisted, though his certainty was clearly shaken. "It explains everything," the old woman countered. "Why Emma was drawn to the old texts. Why Pavati can sense the spirits. Why the prophecy specified her bloodline." The mark on Pavati's wrist burned suddenly, painfully. "What are you doing to me?" "Awakening what the Redhorns tried to suppress." Mrs. Wiyaka's eyes gleamed with triumph. "Your true heritage." Makya moved with blinding speed, but the old woman was prepared. She scattered a handful of powder that burst into blue flame when it hit the floor, creating a barrier between them. "I'm not here to harm her," Mrs. Wiyaka said calmly. "I'm here to complete what her mother began, what our family was chosen for generations ago." "The entities were banished," Pavati countered, backing toward the door. "The ritual worked." "The old ones, yes," Mrs. Wiyaka nodded. "But they aren't the only powers beyond the veil. Some are far older, far wiser, patrons of our family since before the Redhorns made their pact with mere wolves." Understanding dawned on Makya's face. "The Thunderbirds. You serve the sky beings." Mrs. Wiyaka's expression confirmed his guess. "The true guardians of this land. Not the usurpers your family allied with." The revelation hit Pavati like physical impact. The legends her mother collected weren't just about wolf spirits and skinwalkers. Many featured the mighty Thunderbirds, beings of immense power who controlled weather and protected balance. "You're saying my mother was trying to contact the Thunderbirds, not the old ones?" "The old ones intercepted her call," Mrs. Wiyaka explained. "Used her as a vessel because she wasn't properly protected. I tried to warn her, but she was too impatient, too confident in her abilities." Makya's disbelief was evident. "If that's true, why try to use Pavati as a vessel for the same entities?" "A necessary deception." The old woman's voice hardened. "The ritual last night didn't just banish the old ones. It created a vacuum of power. The Thunderbirds can now reclaim their rightful place as guardians. But they need a voice, an anchor, in this world." "Me." Pavati's voice was flat. "You want me to be their vessel instead." "Their priestess," Mrs. Wiyaka corrected. "Not possessed, but connected. As it was meant to be before the Redhorn stole power that was never theirs to claim." The mark on Pavati's wrist flared again, but differently. Less pain, more warmth. The wolf spirit within her stirred, not in aggression, but recognition. Makya sensed the change. "Pavati, whatever you're feeling, Don't trust it. Wiyaka has always been a master manipulator. Listen to your blood, child, the old woman urged. It recognizes truth. Your mother discovered it too late, but you have the chance to restore balance. Something clicked in Pavati's memory. The final paragraph of her mother's letter. The entities fear human connection more than any weapon or ritual. Our capacity for selfless love is foreign to them. If Mrs. Wiyaka was telling the truth about the Thunderbirds, they wouldn't fear human connection. The Lakota had honored and communed with them for centuries. How do I know you're not just trying to use me like the old ones tried to use my mother? Pavati challenged. You don't, Mrs. Wiyaka admitted with surprising candor. Which is why the choice must be truly yours. Force or deception would invalidate. The connection. That was your mother's last discovery, written in the pages the Redhorns confiscated after her disappearance. Makya's expression confirmed this detail, a fact he couldn't have known she knew. The blue flames encircling Mrs. Wiyaka flickered, weakening as their power waned. Time grows short. The window for connection closes with moonset. Pavati looked between them. Makya, representing one ancestral power, and Mrs. Wiyaka, claiming to represent another. Both offered protection. Both demanded allegiance. Both spoke partial truths. In that moment of hesitation, a third presence made itself known. The carved wolf figurine on her nightstand shattered explosively, crystal shards raining across the bedroom floor. Where it had stood, a small ball of blue-white light hovered, pulsing like a heartbeat. The light expanded, taking humanoid form, translucent, shimmering, but unmistakably Emma Blackwood. Mom, Pavati whispered, disbelieving despite everything she'd witnessed. The apparition smiled, Emma's smile, without the shadow of possession that had marred it at Howling Rock. My brave, brilliant daughter. This isn't possible, Makya breathed. The ritual freed me from the old ones, Emma's spirit confirmed. But my connection to the Thunderbirds remained intact. They sheltered what was left of my essence. Mrs. Wiyaka dropped to her knees in reverence. Hanwi Wichapi, you returned. To guide my daughter, not to command her. Emma's spirit approached Pavati, stopping just before her. The choice must be hers, free of manipulation, free of fear. Tears blurred Pavati's vision. You knew this could happen? That you might continue? I hoped. Emma's form flickered, slightly. But my time here is brief. The balance is precarious. What should I do? Pavati asked, overwhelmed by the weight of decision. What I couldn't. Bridge worlds rather than choose between them. Emma's spirit gestured to the mark on Pavati's wrist, then to Mrs. Wiyaka's ceremonial pouch. The wolf and the Thunderbird are not natural enemies. Their conflict was human-made, born of pride and fear. Understanding dawned gradually. You're saying I don't have to choose? That I can somehow connect both? The daughter of the moon stands between worlds, Emma quoted the prophecy. Not trapped as I was, but as a true bridge. Makya stepped forward cautiously. Is that even possible? The packs are exclusive by their nature. Only because those who made them wished it so, Emma's spirit countered. The original harmony included all guardian spirits working in concert, not competition. Mrs. Wiyaka's initial reverence had shifted to calculation. The ritual requires sacrifice. What price would such a bridge demand? The sacrifice has already been made. Emma's form began to fade slightly. My essence completes. The triangle, wolf, thunder, and the human heart that connects them. Pavati understood with sudden clarity. You're offering yourself as the conduit. Your spirit as the binding agent. As it should have been 20 years ago. Emma smiled sadly. My final gift to you? To the tribe, to the balance itself. decision crystallized within Pavati. Science had failed to explain her mother's disappearance, her own connection to forces beyond rational understanding, the events that had transformed her life in mere days. But science had taught her to observe, to question, to seek harmony in seemingly contradictory data. "I accept," she said firmly. "Not as vessel or priestess or pack member alone, but as all and none of these. I choose to stand between, to connect, to bridge." The mark on her wrist flared brilliantly. Mrs. Wiyaka removed a small object from her pouch, a carved thunderbird with the same crystal eyes the wolf figurine had possessed. As Pavati accepted it, warmth spread up her arm opposite the wolf mark, forming an intricate complementary pattern. "The balance returns," Mrs. Wiyaka whispered, awe replacing calculation in her expression. Emma's spirit began to disperse, fragmenting into countless motes of light. "Remember what I wrote, my daughter. Question everything. Love fiercely." "Will I ever see you again?" Pavati asked desperately as her mother's form became increasingly transparent. "I'll be part of the bridge you build, neither gone nor fully present. Watch for me in the space between lightning and thunder, between human and wolf, between what is and what could be." As Emma's spirit dissolved completely, the motes of light spiraled around Pavati, sinking into both marks on her wrists. Power surged through her. Not the invasive pressure of possession she'd felt at Howling Rock, but a harmonious resonance that felt simultaneously foreign and fundamentally right. Mrs. Wiyaka bowed her head in acceptance. "The spirits have chosen. I submit to their wisdom." Makya approached cautiously, wonder replacing wariness. "This changes everything. The council, the pack structure, the very foundation of our society. Perhaps it's time for change," Pavati suggested, feeling both marks pulse in perfect counterpoint. "My mother's final sacrifice shouldn't be wasted on maintaining old conflicts." Outside, thunder rumbled across clear skies, the thunderbirds acknowledging the new covenant. From the forest beyond town, wolves howled in response, the pack sensing the shift in power. A text notification broke the moment. Trevor again. "Strange weather tonight. Everything still okay?" The normalcy of human concern grounded Pavati amid supernatural transformations. This, too, was part of her bridge to build, connecting her new reality with the everyday world she'd always known. "Everything's changing," she typed back. "But I'm okay. We should talk tomorrow." As moonlight streamed through her window, Pavati felt the first stirrings of her dual nature. The wolf's primal strength, the thunderbird's ancient wisdom, and her human heart binding them together. The path ahead was uncharted, the balance fragile. But for the first time since discovering her mother's journal, she felt fully herself. Complex, connected, complete. In the space between lightning and thunder, between human and wolf, between what was and what could be, Pavati Blackwood found her true inheritance. Not a legacy of loss, but of possibility. And somewhere, in that same in-between space, Emma watched over her daughter's ascension with the fierce pride of a mother whose final act had been her most powerful, the gift of freedom to choose one's own destiny. The daughter of the moon had found her place, not bound by prophecy, but transcending it. The bridge was built. A new chapter began.